Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to ExitCoachRadio.com. And my next guest is Peter Cross. And Peter is from the Ladera branch. He's a managing member of the Ladera branch of ISU Insurance. Is that right, Peter? Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's correct. We're a national group of agencies, and our actually agency has just moved from Ladera to Irvine now.
Oh, okay.
Haven't just updated the detail. It literally occurred since you got the profile on us.
And when we talked on the telephone, you said you wanted the title of this talk to be Risks I Wish I Hadn't Taken.
Yeah, it was.
So there's going to be some interesting stories in there, right?
It was interesting even listening into your last guest there. There's a lot of things, the small gotchas that we all hope we could avoid. A little bit of preparation can sometimes go a long way.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background, because you have a very unique perspective based on some of the areas you've lived in the world. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, as a national or international citizen, I've got the unique situation. I'm actually a Canadian, Australian, U.S. citizen. So I held 3 passports and have lived extensively in all 3 countries. So having done that, and also when I finished my college studies in Australia, working at the University of Tasmania, I actually had my first career out of college was working at an acute care hospital and seeing a national health care system in full flight. I worked there as the budget officer working there. And then I went and spent an extensive period of time working on Wall Street after that history. And then now I'm in insurance and risk management.
So what is ISU Insurance? Tell us a little bit about ISU.
Well, ISU, everyone always asks me, what does the ISU stand? It stands for Insurance Systems Unlimited. It's a group that's been around about 35 years. We're a national firm. We operate in all 50 states. And we have about 160 different offices across the country doing a myriad of different services for small to medium-sized businesses.
So you're able to tap into a pretty vast array of resources.
Yeah,
we
have a very extensive national access to national carriers and so forth, as well as a very large network of agency owners and also producers that we can all collaborate with when we're addressing a risk or an issue for a client.
And what particular risks do you work with clients? What's a client look like, and what are you doing with them?
Well, we have an assortment of clients. I personally focus a lot on clients that are in the 25 to 500 employee group sector. And my personal focus has been in healthcare because of my background, and also now I've deviated into food production, so wholesale manufacturers of baked goods and breads and those types of things. That's where we're focusing. But we also do we have some major clients who are also contractors. But as everyone can know, with the economy in the Orange County area, contractors haven't been as dominant a source of business for anyone until just recent years. It's starting to pick back up.
Starting to pick up, and it's been a tough go for contractors around here. So you have this unique perspective of having seen firsthand, and probably with family members in different areas, the difference between the Canadian system, what's happening in Australia, and what's happening in the U.S. How can you contrast all of that for us in a nutshell?
Well, one of the things you and I briefly spoke about, I had the unique, unfortunate, but very unique situation with my aunt, my mother-in-law, my aunt who lives in Canada still. My mother-in-law, who is here in Orange County, and my mother in Australia, all within a 3-week period, all got diagnosed with possible breast cancer. We then had the scenario where in the time that it took for the Canadian system to get my aunt a follow-up mammogram, my mother in Australia to get an MRI, my mother-in-law here, who's in private health care, had the follow-up mammogram, had an MRI, a lumpectomy, and had completed her radiation because she actually did have cancer before the other two systems had responded.
Wow. So that's something you don't want to mess around with, obviously. So what was the holdup in each of these areas? Just getting an appointment or getting...
Well, and that's where when I was working as a budget officer and back in Australia, we also had the situation there, and people talk about the realities moving forward for people and what they can expect with rationing of health insurance. I was a very young, 20-year-old, fresh college graduate. We sat down with all the heads of the hospital. We had a stack of procedures and surgeries that they wished to undertake. We literally sorted through them, prioritized them on a triage fashion, and then the doctors handed myself, a young 21-year-old, a large packet of, here are the people you're going to go down into the hospital and walk to their bedsides and tell them they're not a priority and they're going home until they have budget. So it was a very eye-opening experience, and at that time I didn't know any different to that scenario. But it was very much a, now looking at it in contrast from what I've seen in Canada when I lived there for 6 years and having lived now in the United States for over 12, it's very interesting to see a private system reacting compared to a government system where there really is rationing does occur.
And, of course, nobody wants to be that person to have to go down and tell people that they're going home. What were some of the reactions that you would get?
They were very mixed. We had things from people breaking down in tears because things. There was one gentleman I remember very distinctly. He was a little bit older than I am now. He was a little bit under 50, and he had a very painful gout. But for those of you who know someone who has gout or have had it, gout's a thing that's really painful, but it's not going to kill you. He had waited literally in line, if you want to think of it that way, to get this procedure done to give him some relief in his toe joints where he was suffering from the gout. And he had to simply go home, take some more painkillers, and put up with it. And he was very vocal and colorful in his reaction to what we were telling him.
Do you think that are we headed down that road with the Obama situation, Obamacare? What do you think?
Well, it's one of the areas in which myself and some of the colleagues I work with address with clients and talking to them about a risk and what some of the risks are. And we do have some clients, when you talk about the, and you mentioned it in your last episode, an encore thing. How do I address? I had a sit-down conversation with the father who has successfully transitioned his business to his two sons, but he's currently 62 and he's got 3 more years before he's able to step into the Medicare. And we this morning had literally an hour and a half strategizing about, well, hey, what's the best way for me to go? Do I go to Obamacare? Do I go to, which is the Affordable Care Act, of course.
Yes, of course.
And or do I stay with traditional health because he's come to the end of his COBRA with his former business. And it's, I mean, this is a man who very successfully built up a business that's worth, does $20-something million in production, and now he's faced with having to make some really tough decisions on a personal level.
With a very dangerous gap, right, in potentially devastating financially if he was uncovered and had to go in for a health issue.
Right, and that's one of the issues. When insurance and risk, we talk about things, there's the two main things. There's the frequency of a claim, and then there's the severity. With health insurance, most people get very frustrated because it's this ethereal promise that they're going to be covered if and when something occurs. I'm a great example of that. When I just turned 43, and I've got 3 kids at home under the age of 24 months, but we had that because we had twins. I got the billing from that. I had to pay my deductible, but the entire bill was just a little under $800,000. If I didn't have insurance, and even if it was a portion of that I had to pay, it would be a financially devastating bill for me. So, that's the reality people face in terms of nothing's going on with my health. I'm just getting my checkups. Everything's fine. And then you have this catastrophic or severity issue that occurs in the world of risk, and it can be traumatizing if you don't have the financing mechanism, which is insurance. And a lot of people don't talk about that.
I'm talking with Peter Cross of ISU Insurance, and we're going to talk a little bit more about some client stories when we come back and some tips, ideas, and precautions for you, our listeners, so that you can be well planned. We'll be right back.
Were you born between 1946 and 1964? If so, you're a baby boomer. Did you know that there are over 12 million baby boomer business owners in the U.S.? And they all have one thing in common. Someday, every one of them will exit their business. And a large number of them want to exit in the next 5 years. What about you? What's your five-year plan? At Exit and Retirement Strategies, we work every day with business owners like you. As your exit coach, we create a planning roadmap that your tax, legal, and financial advisors can all work together from as a team to help you reach your goals. Then we make sure the work gets done on a prioritized basis. This approach saves time and money. If you want to start the clock on your five-year exit plan, call Bill Black, the exit coach, at 866-370-3774 for a free consultation. That's 866-370-3774. We'll help you find your exit.
All right, back to our international guest here and his international expertise.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Exit Coach Radio Show. I'm here with Peter Cross of ISU Insurance. And before the break, we were talking about some of the stories from his Canadian, Australian, and U.S. citizenship, some of his contrasts for U.S. healthcare versus other systems out there. And Peter, tell us some client stories. Tell us about a client that you came across. What was their situation before you met them? What did you help them with, and what was the outcome after that?
Well, my focus as an risk manager and insurance provider, we focus a lot on, as I said, manufacturing and so forth. We had a client that came to us. They had a situation where they weren't realizing the connection between the pricing on their insurance and the actions and the decisions they made. That client was actually, for those who are familiar with workers' compensation, looking at an XMOD close to 214.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down with the management of that and made them realize that, you know, what this insurance is, it's really a financing mechanism of those claims. We took them from, they had 50 employees, and that year they had 59 workers' comp claims. Which is just an extraordinary number, and it was really going back to a lot of the morale issues and so forth. And we were able to, with implementation of systems and changes, really turn that situation around and get their XMOD for the ownership, the cost of that insurance lowered dramatically over a reasonable period of time.
How did you do that?
Well, it's a matter of really the critical thing is changing culture. We were able to make the staff realize, and it really does need to go down that deeply, where you're not just talking to management, but you're talking to the staff and the supervisors. And the military give us a great example of that, how the most critical people are your NCOs, and the same thing within a business. You've got a business owner who's focused on forging things ahead, but the people who deal with your staff and your people, which are your supervisors, are the critical ones. But then also the most critical thing that most business owners who are successful realize is your staff are the most critical asset that walks in every day.
Mm-hmm.
This business had started to suffer a little bit financially, had struggled through a downturn. This is back in the early 2000s. And they were just still struggling along, but in actual fact, their business had turned around, and the staff were simply resentful. And as a consequence, they were having some legitimate claims, but they were having a number of not legitimate claims that were going in. I don't like to use the F word in insurance, which is fraud, because any claim to prove it is fraudulent. I know a lot of owners would like to think that, you know, they could prove that. But they were able to turn around. It really was a cultural turnaround, and it has to be first a buy-in from management, and then it has to really go all the way down to the grassroots.
So you came in not just as selling an insurance solution, but as a risk manager, right, to help them manage the risks, which in turn help them save money on the actual product that they had to purchase.
Right, and it can be more than that. It's if you're really doing your job, there's two very distinct classes of insurance people out there. There's product placement people, and then there's the people who actually do risk management and adjust things for a client to really change the outcomes. My background working in the hospital and so forth, that was always the focus. We have hospitals are very much, and even to this day, manually driven. It's all by the people. And so it's really a matter of getting the employees to realize and the management to realize that change will only occur when they decide collectively that it's going to occur. And also, it's more than just the cost of the insurance. When you really look at the hidden balance sheet that occurs and goes along with claims, you're not just really, it's not just the premiums you're paying, it's the management time that's tied up addressing claims. It's the the supervisor's time that's tied up in addressing claims. And when you really look at what it's costing you, if you spend $10,000 on a claim, they say that it's a $50,000 cost to the business.
Oh, is that right? It's a five times magnifier because of the soft cost of administrating and the
correct
pulling it all together, all the paperwork and everything.
For a simple example, if you have someone who's out for 2 weeks and you've got to replace them, you've got the cost of the insurance that potentially can go
okay.
up.
Yep.
The mm-hmm. replacement of that person, the retraining right. of that person, the lack of productivity that comes out of it, the increased potential for another claim, and all those other things that are residing with it. So when you start to amplify and put all that detail in, it really can be anywhere from a three to five times magnifier like that.
You know, that's an interesting point. I don't think most people think about that. It's that there's really a lot more to just the actual cost to the business. And it's probably higher than that when you add in the inefficiency of bringing somebody else in and getting them up to speed and training and all that type of thing.
Well, and then even if you go further and deeper with a large organization, I'm sure you've had the experience yourself. If you've got an unhappy worker that you're dealing with that's trying to help you resolve something, your experience with that person is usually not going to be. Any one of us has had a disgruntled McDonald's worker or an upset Starbucks worker, and your coffee isn't as sweet or as tasty when it's made by someone who's grumpy and upset than it is by someone who's really happy to be there and working for the betterment of their employer and ultimately their client. So there's the cost that you can lose clients over having cultural issues, and it's a tougher path to take. A lot of people just want to say, hey, just get me a cheaper piece of insurance, and that's what I'm told is the way to go. So some clients, it's an educational step that it's hard for them to take.
If you would, let our listeners know some tips or ideas or precautions from things that you've learned, maybe one or maybe three tips, for instance. What can you tell us?
Well, the quick thing that I would say is that, you talk about encore careers. The first thing that I would caution people of that is, and even you've got ads on television saying, hey, you want to go from being a lawyer today to being a horticulturalist or a florist. The thing in risk management I always caution people against is be careful being a dabbler. So that'd be one. If you're going to dabble in something, maybe go work with someone with that passion rather than try and do it all yourself. The other thing, and it's a great book and I'd recommend it, is E-Myth, where the myth is that entrepreneurs start businesses. In actual fact, the most people who start businesses are the technicians.
Right, right.
Technicians start businesses, not entrepreneurs. But a technician usually doesn't realize that it takes a manager of a business and an entrepreneur with some vision, as well as his expertise as a technician, to really run a business. And unless you've got all three of those, and most people don't have all three sets of those three skill sets, that's another thing to be cautioned against. And the final one to think about is, particularly for your listeners who are really focused on that retirement, you've worked really, really long and hard to put together a nest egg and a retirement that you're going to enjoy. Make sure you take and build into your budget for that next encore career a little bit of time, and that being the critical one, to really analyze what it is you're taking on, and two, a little bit of budget to maybe transfer some of that risk, which is what insurance is, transference of the financial exposure to a third party when you start that second career.
Great tips and a great interview, Peter. Thanks very much for coming in today. It's been fascinating. Peter, how do people get in touch with you?
We've got our website, which is ISU-Tasman, TASMAN.com. They can get us there, and we're happy to help anyone.
ISU-Tasman.
Yes, TASMAN.com.
Terrific. Well, I hope people will get in touch with you to identify their risks and really work with someone who cares about minimizing those risks and helping people really understand what they have, so that they can select the right insurance products to protect against those risks.
Yeah, and the other thing I'd stress is we really don't always push insurance products. Sometimes the best solutions, and I know your last talk was with a lawyer. Lawyers generally love me because the first thing I tell someone to go do is go talk to a good lawyer, and a little bit of preventative risk management up front can save you a lot of heartache in the end.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Peter Cross, ISU Insurance from Irvine. And we'll be right back after this message.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.